For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord, let's open in prayer tonight. We come around the Word of God, in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to hearing from you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you give us revelation in our heart, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So we're looking at let your moderation be known. You know, when people look at us who claim to be born again Christians, they're meant to be looking at someone who is conforming to the image of Christ. So that's a very, very important thing to understand. And we know that you can't conform to the image of Christ unless you're a Word and Spirit person. That is a person who conforms into the image of Christ by looking into God's Word and being led by the Spirit of God. So very, very important. Tonight, we're looking at let your moderation be known. Let your moderation be known. And we need to understand a little bit about what moderation is. If you have a look at Philippians 4, verses 1 to verse 7, you will see that statement. So we'll read it right through Philippians 4, 1 to 7 here. And says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. So you get the idea that there are people working towards a particular goal. I believe that you can see that clearly. They're working together. He calls the brethren dearly beloved. He talks about yoke fellows. He talks about fellow labourers. And he also says to be of the same mind in the Lord. It's very important, isn't it? Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he's talked about the mind a couple of times, hasn't he? He said in verse 2, they be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he talks about the peace of God, keeping your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He talks about in verse 6, be careful for nothing, that is, don't allow yourself to be worrying or fretful or fearful. And we see in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. You know, that word moderation is an important one for us to understand. It means the avoidance of excess or extremes, especially in one's behaviour. So it's talking about and giving the idea of self-control or self-constraint. And this is very important because you're going to meet up with various things in your life that can cause you to react in the wrong way. You know, it's nothing to do with having an abundance of goods or possessions. God wants us to have abundance. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 14 tells us that, for example. And if you want to know more about that, have a listen to our sermon on the website, Why is Proper Prosperity Doctrine Essential? We don't have time to go into that tonight, but it is quite clear God wants his people to have an abundance of goods. or possessions, in fact to be rich, and that's for his purpose. But how we use this, how we approach it, is very revealing to whether we have the wrong things controlling us. Some people can get an abundance come into their life, and then they themselves get caught up, and their self-restraint and self-control gets cast out the window, and they're starting to do all types of things which show that they're controlled and led by the wrong things. But that shouldn't be us. We should be people that are led by the Spirit of God, that walk in the way of the Lord, which has the light of God's Word. And the light of God's Word is going to show us the way to go. It's going to reveal to us how we are to be people of moderation. If you look at Galatians 5, 16, we'll start with verse 16 of Galatians 5. And we see a very clear understanding of how we are to walk. Because in the world, there are other, as I said before, other controlling factors in people's lives. And it causes people, if they are triggered and in various areas, they will go off on particular tangents and become quite unrestrained. And the Bible talks about things such as lasciviousness, and we'll mention that in a little bit later as we go through some of these points. Galatians 5, start from verse 16, and we'll start to work through this. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit," and notice it's capital S, Spirit. So it's obviously there's this flesh lusting, coming against the leading of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit against the flesh. So clearly there are two possible ways that people can go. Those who are not walking in the Spirit will be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Okay, so if you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll start to be doing the things that you don't want to be doing. So how important it is for us to be walking in the Spirit, to have our have the Spirit of God keeping us in line. Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law, for the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So you can see the works of the flesh, and this talks of where this is leading in terms of lack of control and lack of restraint, and giving in to those various desires and lusts and things. And you can see where it leads to, all these particular sins. But if you're led of the Spirit, there's going to be, you know, someone will come to you and say, "You know, why don't you join in and have a drink? Why don't you do this or do that?" And you'll say, "No, I'm led of the Spirit." You might not say it like that, but you could. You could say, "I'm led of the Spirit, I'm of the Lord, and I'm going to do what God says." And you do have to then say, "Well, I'm going to restrain myself from partaking of that." Or, "Because I want to feel as though I want to be with the crowd, I'll join in with their carousing and reveling and so on." There's a lot of people who aren't giving in to that type of thing, sadly. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," notice what this says, "the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of what the Holy Ghost is leading you into. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I'm sure you can see here that if you don't have a renewed mind and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're going to have a mind that's going to be of the carnal type rather than of the spiritual type. And if you're of the carnal type, you can be led to thinking and doing the wrong things in your walk. Let your moderation be known. Let people see that you are a person who is walking in the Spirit as an example, as an example of one who is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 13. We'll look at verses 11 to 14 of Romans 13. So as I said before, things can come to you, and how are you going to react? If a lot of wealth comes into your hands, how are you going to react? Are you going to be a person who, well, finally I've arrived and let go of everything? Or are you going to say, well, no, the Lord has led me thus far, He's going to continue to lead me? Things like that. If you have an abundance of friends, many likes on your social media and so on, are you going to be puffed up with pride? Or are you going to say, well, the Lord is leading me, and I know that my value is in Christ Himself. Okay? So it's irrelevant really whether I am hated or loved. It's very important that I am joined to the Lord. Glory to God. So looking at Romans 13, we'll start from verse 11 and go to verse 14. Romans 13, start from verse 11, and it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light." So notice that there are works of darkness that people can be involved in. We have to cast that off, and we've got to put on the armour of light. How are we to walk? Verse 13 says, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So we have to put on all the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He do? He walked in love. He walked in faith. He walked in the truth. He walked honestly. He walked in strength, faith. We know this. And by doing that, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit, you're not going to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And you'll cast off the works of darkness. Romans 6. Let's look at Romans 6. So as I said right at the beginning, people are looking at how we live. How are we living our Christian lives? Are we going to be examples? Are we going to be witnesses for Christ? Or are people going to see, oh, they're just like the world? There doesn't seem to be any difference. You know, here they are drinking with the best of them, lusting with the best of them. What's the difference? What difference has Christ made in their life? Well, we have to be dead to sin. We have to be disconnected from sin. And in fact, disconnected from thinking that way, but to have the mind of Christ. As I said before, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Praise God. And of course, with our bodies, we have to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That's what Romans 12 verse 1 says. So every day we're walking according to what the Lord wants. So our bodies and our souls, our mind, will and emotions are dominated by our born-again spirit. So we're walking in the Spirit of God. Glory to God. So looking at Romans 6, we'll start from verse 10. We'll go to verse 19. Verse 10 of Romans 6 says, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So is this a way of thinking? It is, isn't it? It's the way you should be thinking. Reckon. Reckon. Reckon is a legal term, and you have to see yourself in this way. Reckon yourself also, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So that's disconnected. Sin doesn't have the power it once had over you, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are now connected to God, connected to his power, connected to his faith, his love, his truth. You're connected to him, and he works in you as you yield to him. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." Okay, so think about someone who doesn't have that moderation working in their life, who does not have that self-control or that constraint from doing the things that are wrong. Think about that type of person. That type of person is going to be yielding themselves to the wrong type of people, and sin will reign in their mortal bodies. And we know that. But you know, as you get sanctified through the washing of the water of the Word of God, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." As you get sanctified, it's easier to yield yourself to the Lord. It should be that you're getting more and more like Christ, as I said there before, conform to the image of Christ. So verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God." So what are we meant to be yielding our members, our bodies, our eyes, our mouth, our legs and feet, hands and so on? What are we meant to be yielding ourselves unto? As it says, "Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." What matters? Well, sin shouldn't even have a regard to you, because you should be reckoning yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it should be the Lord Jesus Christ and his ways that matter to you. As it says there, "But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So now your members are going to be used to do the right things, to do the things that God wants you to do. We've been created unto good works. So you'll be using your hands to bless. You'll be walking into the right places. You'll be speaking the right things, and so on. Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." Now, what does grace mean? Obviously, it's God's great enabling in you to be able to keep his law, okay? And this is very important for us to understand, that now we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We know that we, through him, are able to keep his word. His power is available to us. And I talked about that power on Sunday. The power that comes through everything he has, and we are in Christ now. And as we yield ourselves to him, because we have been made righteous through him, then we can walk in that righteousness as yielded people. So verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Are we to be obedient children of God? Certainly. We're to be obedient. We're to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be people that are walking in the Spirit. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were," well, that's past tense, isn't it? "Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Now, sadly, of course, the modern versions get it wrong there. They say you were slaves of sin. Slaves not able to obey the gospel. Okay? If you were a servant of sin, that was a choice. But now you can have the choice to obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And verse 18 says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." And so it would be changed. So something happened, you were changed. You've been made free from sin. Sin doesn't have to keep you in bondage. And as you walk in the ways of the Lord, you're going to let your moderation be known to all men. All men. Because they're all going to be looking at you. But you know, I've met up with people that have said to me, "That person's called themselves a Christian," and yet I've heard some of the, you know, the worst type of swearing coming out of their mouth. Well, something's happening there. They're not restraining their tongue, yielding their tongue to the right things, are they? Not yielding their tongue to the Lord. They're allowing themselves to do the wrong things with their members. And that's assuming they even are Christians. So as it says there, "But ye were," this is verse 20, "but ye were the servants of sin. But when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" So those things you're ashamed of from the past, you don't want anything to do with it, or you shouldn't. "For the end of those things is death. Being now made... But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we went down to verse 23 there. We could see that we have fruit unto holiness as we walk in the Spirit, as we yield to the Lord. As people see, well, you know, they're not like other people. They are changed. There's something different. You know, once upon a time in their life, I knew that person was always had a bad temper, but now they don't. Now they seem to be able to control themselves, even when they're provoked. That could be a miracle. A miracle witness, we could call it. Have a look at 1 Peter 4, verses 1 to 7. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 to 7. You know, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Bible also calls us a peculiar people. Peculiar people. We shouldn't be wanting to conform to the world. There shouldn't be that desire within us to conform or to be, "Oh, I need to be part of the world so that I'm accepted." No, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in the Lord. You're accepted in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has received you. You're now in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 4, starting from verse 1, says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So what type of mind are we meant to have? The mind of Christ, aren't we? Okay. And there will be pressures on your flesh to do the wrong thing. Temptations, you know, the devil operates in the realm of the flesh and the mind. He operates in that realm. That's where his temptations will come. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So that's what we are living our life for now, the will of God. Now, in the past, we were living according to the lusts of men, in the flesh, to the lusts of men. Lust meaning strong desires, and it can mean, and clearly in most contexts here, it means lusting after or having strong desire after the wrong things. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Well, see, that's not the will of God, is it? Doing the will of man. When we walked in lasciviousness, it's an unrestraint. Lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they find it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So let's just stop there. You know, sometimes you have to sit down with the heathen and perhaps have a meal with them, and you'll see they're drinking, and they might even pressure you to drink or to do other things. They might say various things behind your back. They could even be saying, you know, they don't seem to be living life the way they should, you know, and they're judging everyone else and so on and all this type of thing. So they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. But you know, you've got to let your moderation be known to all men. Speaking evil of you, verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So it's quite clear that there has to be a change in people's spirits. So then they've got the new man, and then they're able to yield unto the Lord. And by yielding unto the Lord, as they're yielding unto the Lord, there's going to be that keeping your body under, for example, getting your mind renewed, getting your ways conformed to God's ways so that you walk in the Spirit. And you can see that if we're doing the will of God, we're going to be doing the opposite to what verse 3 is talking about. As it says in verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. So we can see that all these type of things, if we continue, if we were to say, well, I'm a Christian, but we're continuing in that type of thing, or we're allowing ourselves to compromise, certainly that's going to have an impact on our witness. And verse 4 tells us very clearly that, you know, you don't have to even be relevant to them, because you're not relevant to things like the will of the Gentiles and what they're doing there. You're not relevant to their way of life. What has to happen with them is that they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be changed, so that they're living in the Spirit and they're starting to walk in the Spirit, and they'll understand, well, I have need of God. I have need of God. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, receive Him as Saviour, and then they're able to walk according to the will of God. Not in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So very, very important for us to see this. Because they think it's strange, those outside of Christ think it's strange that you run not with them. They think it's strange. You know? And they do not see it as a witness, any Christian compromising. There's no witness there. That's why God tells us, let your moderation be known unto all men. There has to be a change. There has to be something that they see that has been altered in you, altered and changed in you, so that they see that there is Christ in you. Christ has changed you, and that now you are being conformed to the image of Christ. So we'll have a look at finally at Romans 8. And, you know, we've looked at this section of passage a number of times. We'll start in Romans 8 from verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And as I said before, your mind and the way you act and how you yield to things and how you control your life and how you walk, it's all related. It's not, I'm not even going to be thinking as a Christian anymore. No, that's not the case at all. You're minding something. You're thinking on something. What are you doing? Are you thinking on the things of the flesh? Okay, the ways of the world, the material things? Or are you concentrating on the things of the Spirit? So if the Lord, you know, puts money into your hands or puts responsibility into your hands and so on, if He gives you things, are you able to say, well, I'm living according to the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with that? How are you thinking? How are you thinking as you're a witness of Christ? Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we have to be spiritually minded. There'll be no victory in carnal mindedness. And I think we see that all around us, particularly amongst compromised Christians. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." You certainly don't want that. You don't want to be an enemy against God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So clearly, you have to be born of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God must be dwelling in you. And if He's dwelling in you, then you can walk in the Spirit. You can be led of the Spirit. Verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So quickening your mortal bodies means that as you yield to the Spirit, your body can start to be also yielded so that it will be quickened or made alive to do what God wants you to do. And that has a strengthening effect in your body. So you're not, you're probably all aware and understand that when lusts of the flesh come along, and the devil obviously uses temptations, people can have a strong pull. For example, if a person before being born again had a pull towards alcohol, they can have a strong pull towards that. But the more you get into the Spirit, the more your body can be quickened in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God. And that pull that it once had dies, goes away. And that can be in many different areas. So let's understand that the quickening of our bodies, your mortal body, by the Spirit of God that dwells in you is very important for us to see. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are dead as not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what we're going to be led by. Not by feelings. Okay, you need to restrain those feelings that might come upon you. Might be even a feeling of fear that tells you, you've got to go this way. You need to restrain that. You need to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go God's way. And the more you yield unto God, the easier it becomes. Okay, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's that fear I was just talking about. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord. So we see that we are meant to be people that are led by the Spirit of God. And when people look at us, they don't see that we are people where our behaviour is not according to what Christ or God wants, but they see that our behaviour is according to what the Lord wants, not according to what they want. And our thinking and our words and our actions will all be lined up to that, according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the change that you've made in our hearts, and that the Spirit of God now dwells in us, and that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Father, I pray that as we go forward in you, you show us and reveal to us your ways more and more. And Father, not only in this church, but Lord, that your word be made known far, even in this city, in this state, in this nation, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.